Anyway, if you got any questions, you can ask me, and I'll just say, talk to Dave. CJ.
I got a question. Now, you used the word Herbie something during your sermon.
Oh, hermeneutic. Yeah, so actually, you may have noticed halfway through, I kind of threw out my manuscript, and I actually did have no brackets explain hermeneutic, which was, it's just a way of interpreting things. So it's a term that a scholar's used to describe interpretative methods. So everyone has a framework when they approach a text, and so what I was saying is, rather than approach it from this background or that background, how about we approach it from a hermeneutic of love, which is, if you think about it, it's a royal hermeneutic for the royal law in James, that loving your neighbour thing is called the royal law. So yeah, it's a royal hermeneutic for a royal law. I don't know. Did that answer your question? Thanks for asking, by the way. Were there any other questions? I had one question which I was going to text myself, which is, isn't the neighbourly commandment a bit, isn't it like neighbourly idolatry? Because if you read it, it says, this is like the first and great commandment. So is God saying, because this is how some churches can sometimes say, oh, well, we just love neighbour as the same, or as God. Is that what it's saying? What's it saying?
As far as I can see, it's saying God loves our neighbour so much that he died for him. We should love him the same way.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the answer. Like it's that organic thing again. It's actually connected intrinsically to love the Lord your God. We know in John that we love because he first loved us, and then all those things that were coming up during the song about the law fulfilling that and all that stuff, loving neighbour, all that all converges on love the Lord your God. It all flows out of that. And it's interesting because the word like, it is like this. It's like where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is like a vineyard. Like that word like is sort of unto or rendered. So it's not exactly the same, but it's sort of flowing out of that. So the metaphor's here and the reality's here, and there's metaphors like that. So it's almost like love the Lord, and then love neighbours is the living, breathing existence of loving God. Because if you can't love God who's invisible, if you can't love each other who are visible with all our eccentricities and annoyances and all that, how can you love God who is invisible? That's the point, and it's so closely connected. That's what Jesus is saying, I think. Yeah, were there any other questions that I can muddle my way through? Kane.
He's prophet's dad, married
down. Moses. Yep, it's in Exodus 5. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the mother's name, but it's mentioned there. And if you read it, yeah, that seems to be what happened. And Dave might correct me later, but that's...
I didn't know.
But I'm reading through Exodus. Yeah, reading through Exodus. But where's the love in that, Kane? Where's the love? You can work out later. And I'm not saying that it is easy to see love in all the Bible and all the text, but that's the goal, that's the aim, and I reckon it's really cool that Meg answered, because that's exactly what I was after. I was hoping no one would say God, and then I was going to go, right, I gotcha. But isn't it interesting, and that's such a great lesson for us, the Sadducees didn't get it, but Meg got it. And that's just such an encouragement to us to know that it's the power of the Spirit that brings us closer to him, so... Not all your knowledge. And that's not saying that knowledge is important. It is, but anyway. So if there's no other questions, if there are any other... Oh, Beck?
Just, you know, when it comes to loving those that are harder to love for various reasons. So Jesus loved the Pharisees, but he was burning them too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So it's not the wishy kind of...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. It's not... Yeah, and really, if you think about all those encounters... They might seem fair. Some of them might seem harsh by Jesus, but he's actually pointing to himself right there and then, while it's a day of salvation, before it's too late for them. So even in his supposed harshness, he's actually correcting stupid ideas that are going to take them away from him. And so, yeah. Anyway,
what
probably.
About this one after the dusting off the feet, though? When he dusted off his feet, and he moves on.
Yeah. I think there's done and dusted, yeah. Well, also, like John and James, James and John, I kind of like that bit, because in the same kind of account, he's moving out, and the Samaritans say, no, we don't want a bar of you. I think it's in Luke. and he's on his way to, because he's on his way to Jerusalem, and John and James say, righto, let's call down fire on it. Well, that'll sort him out. And you can kind of, and it's just after the transfiguration, so they're probably all fired up. They just saw who Jesus really was, and it's like, cool, well, they're his enemies, you better do something. And yet Jesus kind of dusts his feet off and keeps going, and he says, don't worry about it. But it seems, I think the answer is that there is a season of grace, and you know, people encounter Jesus and they're given opportunities, but that eventually that comes to an end. I don't know. What would you say, Dave? Or, yeah. There's, yeah.
Father loves, he chases those that he loves.
Yeah.
Discipline is part of love too.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the other thing. There's just so many aspects to biblical love, and even the famous thing in Psalm 23, love, you know, his rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, if you're a sheep, it wouldn't have been very comforting to get whacked over the head all the time with a staff. But the whole point was, in those rugged sort of Judean mountains and stuff, if you went down the side or got off the trail, then you were going to be in a lot of trouble. So yeah, they got whacked down again to get themselves back in line. And I'm not saying that God does that in an animalistic kind of way with us, but nonetheless, he does show us what our wanderings will do so that we will come back. And that's why preaching's so important. John often said that we're always the sheep always need to be called back to the shepherd. Owen?
Yeah, just one other thing I heard a really good sermon that, like, our love can be, we can sort of take a softy approach of love to people,
yeah,
and always do these things to them, but if we really do love them, we'll be concerned about them eternally as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And praying for them, and
yeah,
sort of, that's really awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because right now out there, they're going through the ABCs of God, and one of them is God's wrath. Well, that's what they're doing today. So we're talking about God's love, and they're talking about God's wrath out there. But the point is that if you are truly loving, then love, and this is going to be one of my catchy little things, but I didn't have time, love hates. Love actually hates, because we should hate a situation where something horrible happens to a woman, she's taken advantage of and abused. We should hate that. We should hate injustice. Like, we should hate it if we're truly loving. Because you can't hate something and have a standpoint, like a frame of reference within which to know what things to hate without knowing what love is. And that sort of ties into God's wrath as well. Like, he is loving even while he's wrathful, because he hates injustice and he hates sin. And there's some, and we often look at the Old Testament and go, oh, God is the wrathful God of the Old Testament, but he's not of the New Testament. He's so much nicer in the New Testament. Well, the point is that that just shows our faithlessness, because we don't actually believe in hell in the New Testament. That's the whole thing. If we believed in hell in the New Testament, we would say he's more wrathful in the New Testament than in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament it was just physical kind of things happening, but in the New Testament it's a spiritual, eternal separation. And just as, like, God's love gets ramped up in the New Testament through Jesus, and we see it so much more clearly, so too his justice. There's no difference. Like, and Jesus loving, Jesus kind, meek and mild, Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else. Paul hardly mentions it at all. He's the one who often gets blamed for it, because he's a misogynist and he's the one who hates women, so he probably talked about hell. But that's not true. Jesus is the one that talked about hell. And if you just want to read Revelation, well, you'll soon find out whether it's the same God. And it is the same God. It's the same loving, kind, generous God who constantly, just like to Israel, says, here I am, here I am, here are my hands reaching out to you, where are you? And they go, no, not interested. And eventually that comes to an end. So.